Ordinary Justice by Nosferatu Number 9. For the Due South Holiday Party. For Troy Swan. He first encountered the strange little anthropological tidbit in one of the musty old volumes that comprised his grandparents' library collection. The book was only a minor work in the field of punitive justice. It was a very dry and tiresome read, and if Fraser had not been so interested in the subject, he probably would have abandoned it in favor of a more compelling text. And there it was, halfway through the book, sandwiched between an old account of Mayan methods of execution and a short article on prison life in the 14th century. In ancient times, a person who stood outside the law of a culture was considered dead by ordinary people. The sentence remained with him, year after year, like the long lines of Paradise Lost, the convoluted imagery of Joyce, or the daylight's dauphin forever engraved on his heart. To stand outside one's culture was to be as one dead. The idea had intellectual resonance long before he began to live it. When a spare moment presented itself in his duties, or when he spent a sleepless night in a lonely bed, he often found himself contemplating the implications of the phrase. Fraser knew that certain Inuit tribes, like the Inuvialuit, preferred to banish people who had acted against the interests of the community. That was what constituted a crime in the wild places of the earth, of course. The act could be selfish in nature, or simply unwise. It could involve murder, or the hoarding of precious foodstuffs, or the killing of more animals than one could reasonably carry home and use. The only possible punishment against such transgressions was banishment, because it was clear to the Inuvialuit that if one acted against the community, one acted alone. One must therefore always be alone. Fraser could not help but conclude that the Inuvialuit practiced an unusually cruel sort of justice. He wondered what might constitute the law of the culture, and who the ordinary people were meant to be. More than that, he often forced himself to picture those who had trespassed and were rendered dead, passing over the earth as illegitimate ghosts. And when his father made his stunning confession about Muldoon, which was only the latest and final entry in a long line of stunning confessions from his deceased father, Fraser immediately thought of his favorite sentence from the anthropological text. His father had been banished from heaven, hell, limbo, some realm as yet uncharted by human philosophy, and lingered as one dead. In those final moments, before his father faded from his life for the last time, Fraser finally believed he understood the meaning behind the idea that had eluded him for so long. Justice, wrapped up in a neat and presentable package. "I can see right through you," he said to himself in the cold air of the mineshaft, thinking of banishment and the damnation of eternal aloneness. "I can see what's behind it." And for the first time, Fraser wondered who exactly was being punished, and for what.